is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 29th of June, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Culture Thursday. Oh, I love that song I hear, that track I hear my producer playing just now. First time I think I have heard it, but if you heard it just now, I bet you heard it last night as well. Did anybody at the Directions Festival in Rawson Square last night? I went. Not intentional. I'm an accidental participant, spectator, because I was trying to get home last night and I ran into a detour. And traffic was diverted around Rawson Square last night. I realized that that's probably what caused the massive traffic backup yesterday morning for people heading into town. But I can only guess at these things because it turns out that somebody stole all the detour signs. When I leave the station today, I go into headquarters, Royal Bahamas Police Force. I can start there, and then maybe somebody will send me to CID or CDU. This is a criminal investigation required here. Who stole all the detour signs? Why is the public being unnecessarily hampered in their movement by bureaucrats that are not concerned about the efficient and effective movement of people, goods, and services through the country? Did no one think that shutting down Rawson Square, even for a meager, lowly Bahamas Department of Corrections festival, since that's what y'all think it is, would require announcements, notices to the wider public? And detour some people could avoid unnecessary delays and backups? I don't understand what's wrong. But I imagine that somebody stole all the trucks at the Ministry of Works as well, because y'all keep asking me to call this pothole patrol number. And I keep wondering, don't you have inspectors? Don't you have people whose job it is to drive every road every day to determine where the potholes are, where the failed patches are, where the roads need to be assessed? Why is this not happening? Did somebody steal all the trucks from the Ministry of Works as well as all the detour signs? And why is it that quasi-government corporations, when their work teams are sent out, when they assign staff to a job, why have y'all stopped assigning the traffic management team? Sure, when you issue a contract to a subcontractor emanating from the Ministry of Works, why don't you ensure that they know what a traffic management team is? and that they are required to direct traffic if their roadwork project creates an obstacle or obstructs the flow of traffic. These are basic things in 2023. So I don't want anybody to ask me again why I called for the Minister of Works to resign and in the alternate to be fired. These are the most basic of things. The Village Road Roadworks, don't think we've forgotten about it. Do you remember when you told us, oh, it is effectively finished, and here we are 3 months later? The sidewalks haven't been completed. It doesn't appear as if there is sufficient drainage in the road. The people done break up the roundabout in front of QC, partially because there's insufficient lighting in the area, partially because they are reckless, careless drivers who care about nobody, not even themselves. And partially because, and I am no engineer or expert, you built the roundabout badly. I don't want to say incorrectly, because I imagine you followed the schematics you had. Who provided the schematics? Who designed it? Who thought that was sufficient space? It is 2023, and y'all keep insisting that we pay 2023 taxes and fees, but you refuse to give us anything more than 1973 service. We got a lot more to talk about in the news today. I'm going to throw the topics right out there before I get to my Sand Dollar live reads and our on-the-clock Sand Dollar giveaway trivia questions. Today, we're going to talk a touch on the BPL failure last week into the weekend and into this new week. And we're going to talk about a very hot button issue, LGBTI tourism in the Bahamas. So let me start with our live read from Sand Dollar this Friday, 30th of June, and Saturday, the 1st of July. Central Bank representatives will be giving out Sand Dollars at Super Value Winton location. Show your Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet at the door and receive $20. Spend $18 or more in Sand Dollars at the register and get $5 back when you leave the store. This offer is limited to the first 100 customers to show us their Sand Dollar-enabled wallet at each location. One top-up per person, so as many people as possible can experience the Sand Dollar. For more details, visit any of the Sand Dollar social media pages or call 302-9880. That's 302-9880. And now to our on-the-clock Sand Dollar giveaway. Every day for the next 4 months, we'll be giving away Sand Dollars to digital wallet holders. Every day, two winners will receive $30. To be eligible to win, you must have a digital wallet and answer the trivia question correctly. When you call in, give the producer your name and number, your digital wallet provider, and your digital wallet address or custom name to transfer the funds to your digital wallet. You can also, if you are the winner, you could also send your QR code we can use that to transfer the funds to your digital wallet. Listeners are restricted to one transfer for the duration of the competition. Again, you can only win once. Here are the numbers to call before I give out today's trivia question. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. And for our listeners in the Bahamas, but not in New Providence, a new toll-free number, 242-300-5720. 242-300-5720. So here is the first trivia question for the day. Which artist performs the song Just Got Paid? Which Bahamian artist performs the song Just Got Paid? Just Got Paid. Again, the numbers to call 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. 242-300-5720. Joining me in studio this morning is, possibly Mr. C.A. Nuri. He is not conscripted to speak. It's not mandatory, but if he feels so compelled, there's space to jump into the conversation. But I'm glad you're here. I like this T-shirt. This is 50th Independence merchandise.
This is the first Independence shirt I've ever worn.
Okay.
People might be aghast by that, but I pride myself as being Acklands. I don't spend money that I don't necessarily have to. I have aqua shirts home. I have yellow shirts home. I have black shirts home. So I've never saw the need to actually buy
a specific
shirt.
Independent shirt.
But my wife, she apparently come across some money. And she buy everybody a 50th anniversary Independence shirt. So I decided to wear it. Whatever she buy, I can wear. And that's how I get to wear this. And I'm kind of proud to be able to wear a shirt I didn't have to iron this morning.
Oh, by yourself. Technically.
Well, I don't buy no T-shirt or no underwear either. She ain't buy none. I could be commando.
With a good man, you do what your woman, your wife says.
Whatever she say, I shall wear.
We're going to start off. I want to start off. Well, I see I got a caller on the line, and it seems like we may have a trivia winner. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Ma'am, the answer to the question is Johnny Camp.
Yes, ma'am. The answer is Johnny Camp. And you gave the producer your...
Yes, I did, ma'am.
And you haven't won the prize before, right?
No, ma'am.
Awesome.
Yes.
I love it. I look it in.
Thank you so much.
And
have a good day.
Stay tuned to the conversation. Thank you. All right, producer, thank you. Mr. Nure, I'm going to throw that second question out right away to the audience. We got a winner for the first question. The Bahamian artist that performs Just Got Paid is Johnny Camp, Bahamian classic. And Miss Nuri, I think that was an anthem.
Yes, I remember when that song came out, I was proud to know that a Bahamian had an international song there.
Yeah.
You know, that's worthy of playing. It's a good song.
And it's an anthem because it resonates across culture, like nationality, ethnicity. Everybody know what Friday feel like and what it feel like for that money to drop in your pocket.
Yes.
Just got paid.
Yes.
All right, let's go into question number two for the day. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720. For our people who are listening throughout the islands of the Bahamas, not New Providence, it's toll-free. Three of the men who signed the Constitution, are from Acklands. Three of the signatories to the Bahamas Constitution are from Acklands. Name two of those three men to win the prize. Name two of those three men to win the prize. Three of the men who signed our Constitution are from Acklands. Name two of them to win the prize. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. And our text line, powered by BTC, is 422-GR96. It's 422-4796. Three of the men who signed the Constitution are from Acklands. Acklands Island, named two of those men. Now, Mr. Nuri, I wanted to touch, before we get into our second subject, I wanted to touch briefly on the press release, the press statement released by BPL on Monday in regards to the power outages that we experienced. And I just got a couple of quick questions I want to ask before I move on to my next topic. And I'm going to reference, I'm not reading directly from the press release, although I'm pulling quotes, the quotes that I'm going to read are from the press release. We're going to look at this article, BPL revealed 60 megawatt shortfall from failed units last week. That's the 27th of June. I think that's Tuesday of this week. It revealed yesterday that it is at a critical juncture regarding power generation, as several of its generators are down for maintenance, but said it remains confident it will have new generation capacity by the end of next week to make up for shortfalls. In recent days, New Providence was reacquainted with frequent power outages as temperatures rose and demand increased. The power company in a statement yesterday admitted that customers on New Providence experienced a supply interruption during the end of last week into the weekend. Some of us on Monday as well, and possibly Tuesday also. But this was due to challenges with several units at the Clifton Pier and Blue Hills power stations that resulted in the loss of 60 megawatts. Now, this is a quote that I picked up on, and I got some questions about it. The press statement goes on to say, these challenges were exacerbated by the unavailability of generation typically provided through a rental agreement. And so, let me start with my questions right there. Were these quote-unquote rented generators quote-unquote unavailable? I see I got a caller on the line. Thank you, producer. We can stick a pin right there. Good morning, caller. You are on the clock.
Hi, yes, I have the answer. The two gentlemen's name is going to be John Stevenson and William Cartwright.
No, those two men are from a different island. And I think they're both from the same island, but not Auckland's island. So you ain't all wrong. But they're not the three men that I'm referencing. Thank you very much. And you could do some more research and feel free to call back in if you think you get the right answer next time.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Go to this next caller, producer. Okay, there we go. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, sir. How you do?
I'd like to weigh in on energy since I've been talking about it for 25 years.
Now, listen, I'm not talking about energy. I'm not even talking about blackouts, unless that's what happens in BPL executive and administrative meetings. I want to know, when BPL says these challenges were exacerbated by the unavailability of generation typically provided through a rental agreement, close quote, I'm asking these questions. Why would
that one?
Why would these?
That one as well.
Graham,
there were eight. There were 80. Aaron, please, I've documented this for you. In the Blue Hill Power Station, there were 8 rental 20-foot containers with a generator in each one, and I was told by some people that there was a 1 megawatt generator in each of these containers. Therefore, you had 80 megawatt. If you drive there today, it appears some are not there. Maybe someone got rid of those, that rental agreement. You know, we play politics. But here's the real issue. If we have the shortfall.
No, Graham, pause.
Yes?
I'm worried about that real issue. I'm worried about this real issue. So you're saying that somebody told you, because it's all assertion, right?
This is what I'm hearing, and I drove down and I took a look, and I'm also on Google Maps, and I don't see them.
Pause. That there were 80 units that you...
I was told that, so
cool,
if you
cool,
can't
cool.
go by what I was... That's
exactly,
but there
exactly, because this is all just assertion.
There were 80 little containers there, and now I look, there are only 40.
Okay, pause.
What is in them? I don't know. So we
pause.
Can assume...
Graham,
yes.
You can't say anything more because next thing the people gonna ask you is how you get to see what you saw. I'd like to thank you.
I videotaped it. I videotaped
yeah,
it.
But you
I
miss-
have the video. Would you like to see the video?
I mean, no, because Graham.
No, because it's facts. You could see it.
I am Graham, pause, man.
Okay.
I'm not disputing anything that you're saying, but why would you call my radio station, my show, and possibly incriminate yourself?
Well, I'm not saying that I know this for sure. I'm
exactly.
saying I am-
Graham. I just pause, man. Y'all just pause. I want to thank you very much for sharing what you did share. Although neither you nor I could confirm it. It is just assertion. But be careful. Be careful with what you say on the radio. You know? Whatever you say on the radio. And I appreciate what you're saying, but I got these five, really. I got a couple questions. I just want to ask the questions, Graham. Why was the rented generation unavailable? That's what we want to know. Right? Put aside what Graham just said. The statement itself says these challenges were exacerbated by the unavailability of generation typically provided through a rental agreement. But why were these generators, why was this generation typically provided through a rental agreement unavailable? Right? Is it because it was diverted to family islands to replace equipment or resources that were damaged or like have failed? Is the rental generation unavailable because we ain't paying the rent? Is that what it is? I think these are questions, producer, if you could check that call for me, please. These are questions the Bahamian people need to know. I have a text here that says, maintenance needs to be done during low demand, winter, not high demand, and even better maintenance should be all year. Yes. Because what BPL says in its statement is essentially that the shortfall is because a number of issues occurred. One is that a number of machines required maintenance because they had a failure of some sort. And some machines are going through their regularly scheduled maintenance. But that doesn't really answer the question because, like the texter said, your maintenance protocols should prevent this from happening. Right? Why is the generation typically provided through a rental agreement unavailable? Another question, why? Why are we still renting? Isn't BPL in like 1785, I learned to count in Meguana, $1,735 million and a half dollars. Aren't they in that much debt? Isn't that because we built our own generators? Why are we still renting generators? Was inventory intended for the New Providence peak summer capacity diverted to resolve family island emergencies? Why doesn't BPL own the generators it needs to supply New Providence peak capacity? Those are the questions that I want to put on the table, Graham. I don't have the space today to get into the details of power generation or the politics of it. I just wanted to pull that one statement from their press release and ask them these questions. Why is the generation typically provided through a rental agreement unavailable? Is it because those units are actually being diverted to the family islands and it's unavailable for New Providence? I got you. Sorry, thank you. Sorry, caller. Looking at my notes. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would it be Iloftus Roker?
That's one of the people. I need one more name.
And the other one, I'm guessing this now, would it be Prime Minister at the time, Lyndon Finlay?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, caller. Yes, you got the right answer. Thank you very much. And you gave the producer your information?
I did.
I will contact you after the show to transfer the funds.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. That's a hard question.
Thank you
so much. And so, of all of the islands in the nation, Acklands has the largest representation, right, in the institution, with three of the members being from Acklands. Sir Lyndon Pinlin, his mother, is from Acklands. A.D. Hannah, we all know, is from Acklands. And the Loftus Roker is from Acklands. And they say, if you're from Andros, you're an Androsian. If you're from Grand Bahama, you're a Grand Bahamian. Eleuthera, you're a Lutheran. Exuma, you're an Exumian. If you're from Nassau, you're a Nassuvian. But if you're from Acklands, you're an Acklands man and you're an Acklands woman. Ain't that a thing? I want to thank you guys for playing today's trivia. Somebody said they did send two units to Exuma. I am deeply troubled by what appears to be the state of BPL and BEC. Deeply, deeply troubled, and I think it's time for somebody to resign. Somebody needs to be fired. I'm not even referring to the accumulation of issues arising from BPL that have not been addressed and resolved sufficiently. Certainly not for the Bahamian people. Not the taxpayers, not the people who hire you, and not the people who have to foot the bill. We haven't gotten to those past issues yet. This is just the present. This is just the present. All right, I got a text answer to that question as well. Texter, I need you to send me your wallet address, your custom name, and the cell phone number the wallet is attached to.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Listen, Aaron, the questions you ask are very serious and very poignant. You know, the thing is, after hearing what you just said just now, it to me, it's really egregious and really almost criminal. You know, the generators that was placed there in Nassau and New Providence, I would think would have been just sufficient to try meet the demands of the society here that we have on this particular island. Mm-hmm. To remove those generators and carry them and send them to other family islands, you know, and then travel up still with the bill as taxpayers to pay for those rental generators here in the capital. I mean, it is very egregious,
mm-hmm.
you know, and no one seems to take this thing really serious with government, these political party governments. You know, first and foremost, I'm of the belief, and it is a common understanding, that whenever you want to really keep people in the dark is when you don't disseminate the important information
mm-hmm.
that is going to allow your citizenry to continue making sensible
decisions.
Not just decisions, but have a sensible discernment on what's really going on. And this is what's been keeping our people back, because they cherry pick on what they want the Bahamian people to know, what they feel we should know, and the things that we should not know. And I think an end to that should be on the horizon very soon. I'll close on this one very quick point here. You know, the thing is, you know, all of us out here hear the disgust and disdain in many of our voices today. You know, it's the arduous task calling on these talk shows, lending your voice to the public discourse on representing people who their voices are just as strong as ours, but they are not brave enough to come out on the radio and talk about these things. So
yes.
Basically, we represent the people that we speak to in many communities. We give the nation their thoughts as well as our own. I'm going to tell you, if we don't hold these people to account, what we're getting now is not going to change anytime soon, because a lot of them believe that they are not accountable to us. A lot of them believe that the public purse is their own and they can do whatever they want with it. It's not their personal money. And that is why we are not getting the level of service and respect that we're supposed to get as a people.
Yes,
we,
sir.
As a people, must fix this.
Yes,
thanks,
sir.
For taking my call, Eric.
Absolutely, absolutely. I was just reminded, thank you so much, Carl. I was just reminded of another reason why I must call for the Minister of Works resignation. And I can be honest with you, I will accept the resignation of anybody who wants to stand with him in honor, do the honorable thing, and just resign, just in case you live Honorable Wayne Monroe. Just in case you're listening. We recently had the announcement of a fuel surcharge rate increase policy, right? When I say recently, I don't mean that recently, because it was announced by the government before IRCA actually approved it, right? The IRCA approval came much later in the process. But it turns out that a lot of people are still not, they don't know why their light bills are increasing so drastically, right? Because it's as if you thought that you were going to just do one job. Surely you were supposed to be currently engaged in a two-year campaign, engaging your consumers and the general public on the rate increase and helping them, reminding them to prepare their budget every month with the expectation that their BPL bill is going to increase exponentially every month, right? Every increase, period. You're supposed to put that on billboards. It's supposed to be everywhere. Don't forget. Check your BPL budget. Don't forget. It's as if y'all really, really begrudgingly do this job, because The people make doing the job of governing the people so hard. Like, governing would be so much easier if we didn't actually have to engage the people. Very, 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 very upset about that, because I am 47 and we have been deep in a life of 30 years. And the people who are getting paid realize if they don't ever use the word crisis, or if they pretend like everything is as it's expected to be, their pay cut will never happen. Their salary will never be assessed based on their performance and production. I got a couple of texts here. Dear Ms. Green, the electricity bills are ridiculous because of the fuel surcharge. Our bill is $1,194.37, constituting $390 in usage and $696 in fuel surcharge. Our regular bill is around $600. Even folks with good salaries will find it hard to pay a monthly bill like this. So our quality of life is decreasing. But for what purpose? Is the fuel surcharge due to the government not signing the contract to keep BPL prices at a known rate? I know the government warned us, but why is this happening? Someone should be fired for costing the country to have a reduced standard of living since we can no longer afford AC. When you say someone, that's a plural someone, right? Like how fruit is plural for fruit and sheep is plural for sheep. And plural for moose. In this instance, someone is plural for all. I mean, sorry, that was a little ridiculous. For many people. Did you hear that? $390.21 in actual usage and $696.58 in fuel surcharge. See, I've been talking about this for decades, and I can be honest with y'all. Y'all have allowed this class prejudice to blind y'all to the people who have been raising this issue. You know what I've been met with over the last 20 years of advocating on this issue? Oh, you just broke. Oh, you just cheap. Oh, you just poor. You just don't have a good job. It doesn't matter how much money you make. I'm going to do the percentage. Mr. Newry, I have a math question for you, right? What percentage of 1,194 does 696 represent? Like, what percentage of that is that? Because how much of your bill should be the actual electricity that you use, and how much of your bill should be the fuel used to generate the electricity? And let me tell y'all something that's even more ridiculous. It's 2023. I have an A level in applied math. It's calculus and thing like that. Why would you be charging me? Why, I come in right now, caller. Why would you be charging me to generate the electricity and then tell me to pay separately for the fuel we use to generate the electricity? I should have just ignored my good Grammy Corinne Mitchell and become a scammer one time. I mean, when I say ignored her, I didn't present a plan and she dissuaded me. She was just what we regularly remind us, don't be scammers. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Hi, Aaron. Sorry I had to call back.
No,
I forgot to add something in my last commentary.
Yes, sir.
Let me ask the nation a very poignant question here. What is the government plan from this one here going forward? Is there a national plan where we are going to nationalize our electrical grid and really be serious with this thing? Because this fossil fuel nonsense is not working for this country. What about the renewable energy? Where's the plan going forward for the next 5, 10, 15 years in terms of, adding it to our power grid and eventually eliminating or removing these fossil fuel generators that we've been having over all these years? I think the time has come that our leaders must come up with a national plan. Discuss with the people what is their intention to bring about renewable energies, whether it be wind, solar, the one that we pump generators in the water. What is our national plan? You know, they touch it and then they drop it. There's no real discussion going on with this. When we're going to introduce this, when we're going to fully introduce it, yes, or whatever. There is no talk at all on removing us seriously from fossil fuels. This is the question I'm putting a short course about to our government.
Yes,
answer this for the Bahamian people. Give us our definitive plan or what is their plan to move us fully towards renewable energies. And don't say that it's not possible. It is fully possible. But you have the willingness to at least try to attempt to take us off fossil fuels and put us to renewable energy. That's all I'm going to ask on that, Derek.
Thank you. Don't hang up yet. I may evoke more. Hang up yet. I can say something. They have a plan. But first of all, I want to make the note that if not in today's paper, in this week's paper, yesterday's, the current administration speaks to the need to re-engage the National Development Plan, right? They speak to the need to have a plan. But I swear, if they constitute another committee to look at the revitalization of the National Development Plan, we're going to have to fire all of them, Jeff. We have to fire all of them, right? So they are speaking the language, right, that we expect them to hear. But I think they have a plan, right? And I think nobody comes better than who? Zednes? The son? Or the man who wants to own the son? They have a plan. Thank you very much, Jeff. I gotta go. I'd like to thank you for your contributions. And don't worry about calling back a second time at all. Thank you so much. They got a plan. And I fear that they've realized, I mean, I think this should be obvious to anybody. The government cannot, quote-unquote, allow the wholesale extraction of consumers from BPL to their own private solar grids. BPL would collapse. There are too many people who cannot do that for that to happen, right? So that's not going to happen. It appears as if people in the political class have been machinating to position themselves to be available, to offer themselves, to help the country and BPL by providing solar farms and grids, right? And entities to be able to supplement BPL's and the government's power plan. Remember the government said they intend to produce at least 30% of New Providence's power through solar and alternate energy by 2030. That's what they said, right? There's a plan. The question is, are we ever going to be told what the plan is? Producer, let me read this. Okay, let's go to a break. Let's close this off. And when we get back from the break, I got another thing I want to talk about. It's LGBTI tourism. The text says, IRCA does not benefit the general public. Well, look here. This is a question that we need to ask. I'm going to put a question mark at the end of that text and say, does IRCA benefit the general public? You're on the clock. Stay tuned. When we get back from the break, we're going to be talking LGBTI tourism. What do you say, yes or no to LGBTI tourism? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Girl, you see how Cora eye look funny, all black up yesterday?
But she say she bump into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack. And I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman, does mind her business, take care of them churn and go to church every Sunday. So what you think we should do?
I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence. And we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call her text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me again how does work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get all mixed up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
Girl, why are you so sweaty?
Y'all are getting ready for the Bahamas Games.
Bahamas Games? What that is?
The game started in 1989 under the then Minister of Sports, Peter J. Bethel, and now Minister Mario Boleg.
When the games is?
This July 7th to the 15th.
For more info,
go to www.thebahamasgames.org
or call 322-1029.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Okay, we're going to move into the second portion of the show. The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Just before we slide into LGBTI tourism, I'm looking at this paper and I see this headline says, no decision made on future location of Columbus's statue. I just want to remind you, Minister of Works and Cabinet, that we are, what, 10 days? We are 11 days away from independence? No, a little bit. We're like 13 days away from independence. What are y'all doing? Surely a decision like that would have been made as a part of a larger platform.
They moved the Columbus statue without no plan at all. No thought, no reason, no rhyme. No, they had to move it.
They had to move it.
They had to move it. It was there for 6 months with one leg.
Yeah, they had to move it quickly because somebody...
No, it wasn't quickly.
Somebody's going to teeth it.
Again? Yeah. But my point is, and I can quickly say this, is... You cannot just say we have no idea, no clue what we're going to do with it.
You know? And that's the why. Maybe you don't want to tell me. Maybe you don't want to tell me, but don't say you have no idea what you're doing.
No clue.
That's it. Anyway, let's get back to
200-year-old statue.
Yeah, right.
We don't even know if it's fixed.
Right.
We even know if the legs
What's
still
the status?
Off.
Are we doing the hero statue garden at Botanical Gardens? What's happening? Tell us something.
Something.
Right? So we could at least I could budget because it's muddy out there. I know what type of shoes I need to buy for any event that's out there. Something.
Do you know where the statue is right now?
No, I have no idea.
No clue. That's my point. It could have been thrown down someplace.
I hope it still exists in its whole form. Okay, so let's get to this topic, LGBTI tourism. And let me tell you why I'm talking about it this morning. So somebody alerted me.
Yes. Is there such a thing as LGBTQI tourism?
You asking... Me, ambassador, like you are also, in fact, let me rephrase that. You, a Bahamian who's supposed to be a tourism ambassador, like every citizen in the country, asking me if there's LGBTI tourism?
So there is some? I mean, there's money in it? There's business in?
Well, if LGBTI people come to the country, in any, right? Like they just get on a boat. They don't even have to say that they're LGBTI. There has to be no outward expression, but if an LGBTI person comes to the Bahamas as a tourist, that's LGBTI tourism.
Okay. I'm going to let you start the conversation and I shall add in and be guided by what you say. Go ahead.
All right. So I was listening, somebody directed me to a local television show, talk show, and they were like, listen, you got to tune in. I'm very hurt what I'm hearing. So I tuned into the show. It was the host had a number of panelists.
You want to say the host name?
I mean, I could say it was beyond the headlines. Shanique Miller had a number of panelists. And Shanique played a video that I saw circulating of a local LGBT event promoter and business owner and party promoter announcing a new venture
in
business, town.
Money.
Right? It's a members-only club.
A private club.
That they're opening in town. And it's sort of restricted to members and their guests, right? But in some way, there is not an opportunity, but an avenue. Like, they expect that tourists will also come to the event. So I don't know if through a cruise ship that you membership, right? And you can come to the location. And so apparently, this has caused a massive uproar, according to Ms. Miller.
Uproar where?
In the Bahamas.
Why would behemoths be uproar?
Well, this is what I want to talk about today. But according to her, everywhere she went over the last couple of days, people have been stopping her and telling her she needs to talk about this. What's happening? In particular, it appears the concern of the people is this. Is the government promoting or engaging with gay event organizers to produce a tourism product for gay people?
One would assume that if any major tourist thrust is coming to the Bahamas, the government will put its monies and finances and whatever they use behind it. I would assume so.
Well, considering that tourism workers promote tourism like Christians promote God, right? Yes. But I want to dissuade people of their, their ignorance. I want a freedom of that.
Okay.
And I've done some research, and I want to tell you all, have no, gay tourism has been here.
We know we've had gay clubs. we've had cruise ships came to the Bahamas repeatedly, often, right, continuously, till this point, with a large number or the entire cruise ship passengers are all homosexual. So we know that. We have welcomed them. We have embraced their money. We see them inside the hotel every day. They are our families, their friends, our church members. We have a gay community here in the Bahamas. Mm. The active gay community members in Bahamas.
Yeah. Absolutely. And so I wanted to just share some articles, some statements from government officials in, that would give Bahamians a better sense of how tourism operates here. And
I don't think we understand tourism.
I agree with you.
And the panel was upset inside the Shanique Show?
Oh, the panel is, I'm concerned. The panel is very upset.
All of the panel?
All.
Do they understand what tourism is about?
I mean, they don't care what tourism is about.
They don't give a damn.
In the sense that you're talking about, right? They know what tourism is about, and they're drawing the line there at gay people. Not gay people. I wouldn't say gay people coming to the Bahamas. I could be fair. Okay. I think they're drawing the line at the idea that the government would, in any way, any fashion, any form, be seen to be not even promoting, right? Not even engaging with local or international organizers, but even inviting. Like they seem to be upset that the government would even suggest that it's okay for gay people to come here as tourists.
So if a international body asks the government, is it safe for homosexuals to come to Bahamas, should our government say no, it's not safe? Or should they say yes, it's safe and they are welcome? I don't understand. I'm trying to understand, so forgive me for my ignorance.
Yeah, well, the government should say, no, it's safe.
It is safe.
Yeah.
So they could walk around?
Yeah. They could walk around.
Can they go to a club?
There are queer clubs and queer spaces here.
Oh, okay.
I would say this, and I've said this to tourists who have reached out through social media pages for advice. Like, people, when they come in here, they reach out. They say, hey, listen. In fact, somebody reached out and said, hey, we want to have a commitment ceremony, but before we come down, we want to get a sense of the culture and the cultural attitudes towards this, right? And so I explained that, look, the Bahamas is a very friendly place, right? We're open to the economics of tourism, and we embrace the people who bring the money. I would minimize public displays of affection.
Mm. You tell them that?
Yeah, I tell them that. I would, to be very, very safe. I would be alert. I would be conscious. I would minimize public displays of affection.
So before you start reading your notes, like you said, is there a need for a queer club? Or should they go to any club? Queer people.
Oh, yeah. No.
Go to your, don't go to any club and just do what you do.
No. I wouldn't suggest it at all.
So they should have a queer club just so they can be safe or separate and apart.
Yeah. It's just, there's different cultural attitudes. And when people are drinking, you expect that there's less self-control, right? And less personal discipline.
So I support them having their own club to avoid any kind of social confrontations.
Gay people go to clubs all the time here.
Yeah.
Right, locals go to clubs all the time
and move
through safely. Women tend to more than men, without a doubt. Let me go to this call, though.
Then go to the call.
And then I'm going to get to these notes.
Then go to the notes.
Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Erin, C. Allen Johnson, and you, Nuri, C. Allen Johnson, critical thinker.
Yes, sir.
I wish you had started earlier in the show, as you had promised, but because the pink economy is something I think worth us having a conversation on, and understanding how it integrates into tourism. For people who may not know, they should Google and research it. The pink economy in the world, only two economies largest in the pink economy, and that is the UK, and European Union and the United States. And so it's a $3.9 trillion a year economy with emphasis on hospitality and tourism. And it's not one the way we seem to want to label the LGBTQXPIA+, because it's a combination of things, but it's actually providing a service to them, not in the exploitative manner that we're thinking that it's a sexual or sexualized thing. Mm-hmm. To understand their spending habits is something that for someone who wants to maintain in the tourism market will have to really consider.
Have a show on it. Yeah, can I invite you? I'd love to invite you and Victor Rollins, one of our local organizers, to have this conversation. I'd love that.
I'll be happy to.
Thank you very much. I can reach out to you.
Bye.
Right. And so you could see there's a pink economy, right? And that's money generated from engaging LGBTI tourists, LGBTI services, right?
Do Bahamians want pink money?
But look here. Let me tell you a story about the heaven and the glory. I haven't seen a Bahamian turn down a dollar yet. I mean, I do sometimes because I don't have good sense. A lot of Bahamians, like, do they turn down drug money?
No.
Do they ask?
No, it's blessed over that.
I've heard pastors say, look here, you bring it to church.
I know a big bishop.
You bring it to church, I can bring it to God.
Yes.
Right? You bring it to church, I can bring it to God.
I know a big bishop. I can call his name.
And so I got a heavy text. I know you send the text because you want me to read it. I can try to read it for you. So I want to start off by saying this. Did you know that buggery was decriminalized in the 1992 Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act? I need to say this because one of the people on Miss Miller's show last night was having a wail of a time. Like, they were wailing, and they declared emphatically that buggery is still illegal in the Bahamas. But I want to point out that in 1992...
There's a behemoth who said that?
Yeah. In 1992, the penal code was replaced by statute law, and there's the 1992 Sexual Offenses and Domestic Violence Act that decriminalizes buggery and essentially legalizes homosexuality. So that is incorrect. And so the question I had put out was, do you say yes or no to LGBTI tourism? Another question, do you think the government should prohibit LGBTI events, cruises, or conferences? Should the MOTIA promote or create a portfolio for LGBTI tourism? We going to a break, producer? Oh, it's 11 o'clock. You're right, C. Allen Johnson. You was right on time. I'm going to throw these questions out there. And tomorrow I talk in sports. So hopefully I can pick this back up on Monday. What if I told you that we've had LGBTI tourism for decades? I'm going to read some headlines for you. Lesbian cruise draws protest. Tampa Bay Times. That's the 14th of April, 1998. That year, 1998, is significant. Another headline. Bahamas apologizes to gay passengers. That's in the LA Times, 19th of April, 1998. The government's tourism minister last week apologized to passengers on a lesbian chartered cruise ship that was met with more than 100 protesters chanting and waving signs reading "No Gay Ships." And then, Islands of the Bahamas' position on gay and lesbian travel, a statement by the Right Honorable A. Ingram, Prime Minister, Sunday, the 8th of March, 1998. And you will be surprised what your government says. I just want to share with you all briefly. I didn't realize how little time we had left. Do not let people incite you to violence in their ignorance, right? Incited to violence by ignorance. Do the research yourself. Our Prime Minister Hubert Ingram made a proclamation that was gazetted denouncing the violence that our LGBT tourists were met with on that cruise in 1998. When we get back, it may not be Friday. Maybe I could take a few minutes from the show tomorrow. Maybe Mr. Nuri will give me a moment on his hour.
Yeah,
man. I'll read the rest of that statement.
Yeah, man.
You guys, thanks for calling in. Thanks for answering the questions. And to that text, I will read your text on the other side of the break. On the clock, signing off. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with Cecil Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.